I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We're going to go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
Welcome to the Pedestrian Podcast, the one and only official UK Seahawks podcast. This week, we're like a good Polish vodka and at 66% strength of regular hosts. Ross is still celebrating the fact that there is no clear drafted replacement for Cassius Marsh. So instead, it is just myself and Stuart. Myself, Stuart Court, and the man who had a weekend of seeing Christian McCaffrey become a Panther, but was peaked on Sunday when he got to celebrate St. Arsene Wenger Day, or whatever they're going to call it. Mr. Adam Nathan, how are we, sir?
Brilliant. And you made two mistakes in the intro, which is always great fun.
Yeah. So, brilliant. Before pressing the record button, it's just carrying on from all that, I think. Before we get to the draft breakdown, a few chapter notes, as always. Currently, the 2017 National Meet is now just 3 weeks away on May 27th at the Canal House Bar in the centre of Nottingham. Tickets are just £5 and are attainable by sending cash to my PayPal. We have the room a little earlier for setup and so people can arrive to watch the FA Cup final with a few fellow UK twals. Should be a good night with plenty of merch and prizes to be won in a charity auction and a raffle. And all will go towards, hopefully, what will be an alcohol-fueled, but a very, very good night. I'm sure we can add some pod merch to the table too. But yeah, May 27th, all info on UKSeahawkers.com and the UK Seattle Seahawks fans Facebook page, so get involved. But this week's pod, we are here to go over the draft class for 2017 and have a chat about their fits and chances of starting week one and much more long term. So what, before we go player by player, what are your thoughts on this overall class, Adam?
That's a good question. It's interesting because the general consensus has been that it's been a really great class and that they've done very well. I reckon that we've heard similar things from the last couple of draft classes that haven't gone quite as well as we would have hoped. And I think ultimately I'm a little bit disappointed that there isn't really sort of that star player you can hang your hat on that we were all hoping for, you know. You've all heard the names of big players, and I don't really think if you asked your average NFL fan to list 50 players being drafted this year, I'm not sure we've drafted any of them. And I know it's not about the names, it's about the player, but you know, it just sort of seems a bit of a shame that there isn't a star here that we all have sort of hung our hats on for the last 12 months.
No, there isn't. But I think also if you switch around, the guy who we took first is final year at college to his year before, is 2015. If you saw 2015, 2016 around for the player we got at 35, then, well, he wouldn't be at 35, but it's that question mark which of his work ethic and stuff, which Rob mentioned on the podcast a few months ago when talking about him. So I think he is the closest thing to that top 50, as you say. But yeah, we did all the work with Justin Seahawks. I did a few articles mentioning all these players' names, and not one of them is a part of the 2017 NFL draft. So yeah, the Seahawks draft started like so many in recent times with a trade back, the team picking up a third rounder for 2017 and a seventh rounder in 2017 to move from number 26 to number 31 for Atlanta to select UCLA's Takaris McKinley, who then provided the interview of the weekend. At 31, while the Seahawks didn't hang there for long either, trading back, interestingly, their NFC West rival 49ers, who moved up three spots. They then selected Alabama's possibly broken linebacker, Reuben Foster. So it's all on to day two, and six picks were on deck. But not before yet another trade back, one spot with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Finally, at 35, the Seahawks made their pick.
With the 35th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select McDowell, defensive tackle, Michigan State.
Well, what a perfect player to get into Seattle to learn around some great defensive linemen like Michael Bennett, Todd.
This is a good place for him, let's put it that way. Let's start off with a positive. I think Malik McDowell physically, from a talent perspective, is the best interior pass rusher in this draft.
It is a blitz. Hackenberg under pressure, and he goes down. At the 5-yard line. Malik McDowell got there first for the Spartans.
They love McDowell, just a huge presence. They want it every single down. He's got the capabilities of taking over ball game.
Here comes the blitz. Hackenberg has the ball batted up in the air. Malik McDowell on the carom, and it's a defensive score.
Off the ball fake and the sack, and a flag down as well. Malik McDowell.
The first Seahawk of the 2017 class was defensive tackle 6'6", Malik McDowell from Michigan State. McDowell, as I said a few minutes ago, was seen as a top 10 pick entering the 2016 season. But after a 13.5 sack year in 2015, he, on a pretty poor Michigan State team, clocked just 1.5 in 2016. Effort questioned somewhat by most, but went on. There's no one more disruptive than him in this draft class. But Adam, with all those work ethic questions, Seattle's a pretty much ideal spot for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, as long as we're as successful as we have been in pulling players around from previous issues like that. The only thing I will say is I was watching you do your Facebook Live thing during the draft, and the face you pulled when the pick was called wasn't exactly one of unbridled joy. So I wonder, given that was your instinct at the time, whether you thought we could do better. I mean, on the upside, it looks like you've drafted a Calais Campbell, if all goes well. But if not, it's, you know, it could be a bit of a wasted second round pick again for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I think initially it was a case of, obviously, Forrest Lamp was still on the board. Kevin King had just gone to the Packers. Thankfully, Cam Robinson had just gone to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thank you for that, Tom Coughlin. But yeah, I think initially it was just a fact of he wasn't the top of my list at the time. I've gone back, and some of it's 2015. I think you can hear from the clips at the start of this segment where in 2015 he was unblockable against Penn State. He just absolutely ruined Christian Hackenberg's day. He was always in his face. But in 2016, as Rob a few weeks ago mentioned on the podcast, he just didn't seem to give a crap about Michigan State. Went from the Final Four in a college playoff in 2015 with Connor Cook to, I think, sub 500 in 2016. So if that's what he's like when a team starts to lose, then yeah, I probably would have rather a more definitive answer on the offensive line. But if he hits 2015, Malik McDowell, then we really do. I mean, the Calais Campbell comparison almost straight away from John Schneider is quite exciting. After me and you, Adam, spent a few weeks banging that Calais Campbell free agency drum. If he is Calais Campbell Mark II, we've got him at, what, $18 million a year less, haven't we?
Yeah, very much so. I guess in the pod that we did, I'm not even sure if it was released as a pod, but when we were discussing on draft night on the Google Hangout or whatever, I'd sort of narrowed myself down to wanting an offensive lineman or a defensive back. We obviously didn't get one of those, well, partly because we traded out of the first round. He's just not a player that was particularly on my radar with our first round pick, so I don't really know how to assess it. But I think with the whole draft, as I think I said even beforehand, with regards to the off-season deals, they're going to have to prove it in the season, and we'll see how it's worked out.
Yeah, they're at 58. The Seahawks did something quite strange and didn't trade out of the spot. Their pick came in and depth at one position was addressed.
With the 58th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Ethan Posick, tackle, LSU.
I can just hear Seahawk fans everywhere saying, it's about time we invest in the offensive line and they get a good center.
Yeah, Ethan Posick out of LSU. He's a center for LSU in 2016, but has also played on virtually every spot on the offensive line. Thoughts on Posick, Adam?
I haven't seen any of the guys' tape, but the measurables look very impressive. I think you and I both have a sneaky hunch that Justin Britt may not be a Seahawk pass next year, so it could be cover for that. But we, in general, it's going to be very interesting to see what the first line is going into camp, because we were throwing some names out there last night for what it might be. And I wonder if someone like Glowinski is going to be bounced out, having had a pretty good season and probably not much better season possible last year, considering his talents. So it's going to be interesting to see where they view him. I think right guard is probably where we reckon he might start off. But yeah, I mean, certainly better than Cam Robinson in terms of what we could have got.
Yes, most definitely. To also to help us talk about Ethan Posick, we are now at full allotment of hosts. Ross, how are we, sir?
Good, thanks, mate. A week of celebrating Cassius still being on the roster is just about over. I can't handle any more.
Yeah, although maybe we have jumped the gun on that, because the undrafted free agent signings haven't been announced yet, and they will as we're recording, and it will require some cuts. So apologies, Cassius, if we've just put the death knell on your Seattle career. But thoughts on McDowell and thoughts on Posick, Ross?
Yeah, like you said, from McDowell, he's got some really good flashy plays, and the guys on the Seahawks podcast said that, are you really going to try that hard when your team's in the tank? Maybe not. So he's got the ability, and I think he's landed in the right place to really bounce back and be a force in this league, and just makes an exciting defensive line. Posick was an odd one, because of all the positions on the offensive line that we've already got a good player at, centre's not really one that we needed to go for. But
I don't think we've drafted him as a centre, to be honest.
I've seen him listed as a tackle and as a guard, so
yeah,
anywhere on that line. I think he some of his tape looks good. I saw him, he doesn't give up on blocks, and he might get driven back a bit, but he's not disengaging from the player. So decent pick, and apparently he's one of the cleverest players in the draft, which is always a nice thing to have.
Yeah, and he's already hard at work with former Seahawk Kevin Mawai, who made his career in the NFL as a centre.
Nice.
But yeah, in 2016, Posick, with Leonard Fournette behind him and Marion Geist behind him, did not give up a sack. So with that being an issue, or at least hurries being an issue for the Seahawks in 2016, that is a good stat to start your life in Seattle off. Pick three on day two was a very, very Sherman-looking defensive back out of Central Florida. It was Shaquille Griffin.
Please welcome, from Purdue University, defensive end, Cliff Avril.
With the 90th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Shaquille Griffin, DB from UCF.
Shaq is a really nice looking player, smooth, really good length for pass breakups. He was second in the country in getting his hands on the ball, either with interceptions or PBUs. We'll get to number one in just a bit, but a really, really good player from what I've seen. Thoughts on Griffin, Russ?
Yeah, under 440 in the 40-yard dash and almost a 40-inch vertical jump. This guy's got some explosion. And yeah, if you're going to draft a Sherman replacement for a couple of years' time, then get him playing opposite him for a little bit, learning, and then slot him back in there to cornerback number one.
Yeah, he's not the finished article, but he possibly is my favourite player of the 11 they drafted over the weekend. Adam?
Yeah, he looks a really smooth player when he runs. Certainly a position of need, given Deshaun Shedd's injury. But with a bit of luck, he will be okay to start the season, Shedd. I mean, that may be a bit optimistic. And then you can sort of redshirt the guy in that position and see where you go from there. I don't see Sherman staying more than another year. So if he is going to be a player of a high quality, then it's a great pick.
Yeah, I agree. I really do. I think he can easily slot in opposite Sherman. You put someone like Jeremy Lane or even Bradley McDougal inside at nickel. But then the Seahawks took another defensive back and a player who was not, to be quite honest, on my radar at all. Delano Hill, a hard-hitting safety from Michigan. Frank Clark's former roommate, from all accounts, at UM too. Adam, Hill, anything?
Nothing on the player in general, but I think from the buzz that I was hearing from, you know, various journalists or whatever, playing nickels with a safety as opposed to a third cornerback could be the future of the league. And I think if you look at maybe what Buda Baker will do for Arizona, I think it's a great pick from them. I wonder if that's the reason why we've stacking so many safeties on the roster, because the future of Seahawk nickel will be with three safeties on the field.
Yeah, I really agree. And also, Arizona's top two picks were very, very annoying with Hassan Reddick and Buda Baker. Ross, Delano Hill?
Yeah, don't know much about him, but from everything that I've heard, he likes to tackle and likes to hit people quite hard. So a strong safety that likes to hit people hard, we've got a good record with that.
Yeah, I agree. And then one of the coolest stories of the draft came at pick 102. Nazir Jones from North Carolina Tar Heels. At 16, Jones suffered on the back of a high school state or regional final paralysis in his legs, which came from a rare compartment syndrome, which left him, with, as I said, without the use of his legs. He was still recruited and signed to a scholarship by North Carolina, and now he's in the NFL. Great story aside, this is just another Jaron Reed run stuff in two down defensive back, isn't it, Russ?
Yeah, a proper nose tackle. I think Brandon or Adam from the Seals pod described him as the Brandon Mebane type replacement, and we've been looking for that, really. So, yeah, him and Reed in the middle with the four options now at the ends. That's an exciting line, that is.
Yeah, and hopefully we don't draft another player. We'll have to use the word paralysis, apparently. Adam?
Yeah, it seems like another good pickup. I'm actually quite a big fan of Ataba Rubin, but I think if you look at the majority of teams that win now, let's exclude the Patriots because they win regardless, heavy numbers and rotation on the defensive line is basically how you win Super Bowls and keeping players fresh. And so the more the merrier you can get in those positions for me.
Yeah, and also it's how we possibly got to the Super Bowl in 2013, because obviously we have Red Bryant and all those guys in the mix. But also for the rap connoisseurs, Nazir Jones is the real name of Nas. So if his sack music isn't one mic or anything off Illmatic, then it's really a wasted opportunity. Then to end a busy day two, the Seahawks went back to the house that Harbaugh is building and got another toy for Russell Wilson.
With the 106th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Amara Darboh, wide receiver, Michigan.
Well, you want to talk about two back-to-back inspirational stories.
Great story.
It doesn't get much better than James Conner followed by Amara Darboh.
Yeah, Amara Darboh, a 6-foot-plus wide receiver who's born in Sierra Leone. Both of his parents were killed in that country's civil war during the 90s when Darboh was just two. He moved to America when he was 7. Became an American, fully fledged American citizen in 2015. It's another pretty cool story to what looks like a pretty solid football player, doesn't he, Adam?
Yeah, I'm just trying to watch some of his tape now. So obviously seen a couple of the flashy catches that look great. But, you know, not far from me to jump on the anti-curse bandwagon. That's certainly not my deal. But at 6'1", 220-odd pounds, he looks like the sort of guy at some point fill that spot opposite Doug Baldwin, we can only hope, and, you know, in an ideal world.
Yeah, 6 picks on day two was both surprising and unprecedented. 4 picks in the third round of the NFL draft is a rare, rare occurrence. But before we get to day three, how did things look at this stage for you, Ross?
Yeah, I thought it's a fairly solid first two rounds. I mean, Adam said there was no... Like, there was no kind of superstar pick or the name that we wanted, no Kevin King or even Buda Baker, but I really liked the Darboh pick, and Mayock thinks he can be an instant asset on returning kicks as well, so that would be a nice addition. Let's take Tyler Lockett out of the firing line. But yeah, I think it's a solid first couple of rounds.
Yeah, Adam?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's difficult when you don't know every name of every player. If you're not in the draft, just wait. 6 teams of players are hard to digest. Even just breaking down with it now, you can sort of see Ross forming, which, face of things, already looks like an upgrade from last year, which is the plan.
Yeah, most definitely. On day three, the Seahawks had 5 more picks to make use of, starting it off with the man who was ahead of Shaquille Griffin in getting his hands onto the ball in 2016 in college football. It was Tedrick Thompson from Colorado.
Here's Falk. Over the middle. Intercepted! Exclamation point. Tedrick Thompson.
Burns, all kinds of time. Deep shot downfield. And that is picked off. It is Tedrick Thompson with the interception.
And that was
on third and three, a bubble screen. Butler Bird trying to get away. No chance. Fourth down. Tedrick Thompson got to him first.
Third down. Spade to Butt.
Batted away by Tedrick Thompson. Anticipated it and on the full dive spikes it to the turf.
That is Tedrick Thompson, as I said, a ball hawk of a safety from Colorado. The pick also brought this cool moment on the phone call from Schneider and Pete Carroll telling him that he was the newest Seahawk.
Hey, is this Tedrick?
Yeah, this is me.
Tedrick, hey, it's John Schneider with the Seattle Seahawks.
How you doing?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good.
You want to get taken right here, or do you want us to wait?
No, I'd rather you take me right now.
Okay, man. Hey, we're at 111. We're going to select you right here, so congratulations, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, congratulations, man. Here's Coach Carroll, all right, buddy? Tedrick, you okay?
Hello.
Hey, baby. Yeah. Hey, baby. That's all these fans here. The crowd's going wild. Hey, we're jacked up to get you, man. You've been a terrific player. You've been a kind of guy that we love to have. All the plays you made on the ball, all the stuff you've done in your career really makes you one of our guys. So come on down, okay?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Enjoy, man. I know it's emotional, but enjoy the heck out of it.
In 2016, Tedrick clocked in with 7 interceptions and 16 pass breakups. This is a clear nod to the lack of turnovers the Legion clashed onto last year, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, anyone that watched that Colorado team play last year, their secondary was one of the best in the Pac-12. And it was a concern that going into the Husky game, we were very worried about. So anyone from that group is more than welcome in Seattle.
Yeah, Ross?
Yeah, he looks a player. And do we feel as a group that if, God forbid, Thomas goes down again, do you think he's more capable of stepping up than Stephen Terrell?
Unquestionably. Yeah. It's not even he wasn't, obviously, the top one for me from that Colorado secondary was Keller Witherspoon, who annoyingly is a San Francisco 49er, but yeah, he's unquestionably a step up from Mr. Terrell. Adam?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned the 49ers and talking about the splash names. I'm really jealous of every player they've got in the draft. For me, they absolutely killed it. And I'm really pissed off because I think that I would just love their first four players because I think they're all brilliant.
I told you the Niners are going to be the team that make the jump up in the NFC West. After a bit of lull, after 5 picks and 21, the Seahawks then took another player with a well-known name for different reasons. It was not the baddest man on the planet. It was a safety from Cincinnati, Mike Tyson. Thoughts on Tyson, guys? Russ?
Yeah, don't really know much about him.
No, he's a one-year starter for the Bearcats, I think, the Cincinnati college team are called, and that's about all I know.
He's a flex box safety who's more at home at the line of scrimmage. So he'll be a sub package piece, apparently. But fine.
Yeah, there will be a Google Translate on that sentence that Ross has just gone through as well. Adam?
Well, presumably he'll replace Byron Maxwell as the guy that punches the ball out of drum roll, come on. I have no idea
with the second pick of the sixth round for Seattle, the Seahawks seem to rekindle their kinship for Michael Bowie memories. Mississippi State Justin Senior, who's just an absolutely ginormous tackle, becoming the late Seahawk. You just heard what Ross said. This is possibly my least favourite pick. It makes absolutely no sense why they've taken this guy. He has ballooned. I mean, it's rich coming from me, but he's ballooned 50 pounds over the last 15 months. And in the same way that McDowell possibly didn't take his final year in college as seriously as he possibly should have, it definitely seems the same for Justin Senior, doesn't it, Ross?
Possibly, but look at our offensive line. All those guys look like they could be tight ends. They're all skinny and like muscly. I want a big, fat guy who's big, tall, fat guy. It takes time to run around because the amount of times our offensive line gets blown past.
Wait, 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 wait. Right, so even our offensive linemen who might be improvements, they're just harder to run around. Not that they're good at their jobs.
That's fine with me. That massive guy that the Niners have got on one of their tackles.
He's huge.
Yeah, he takes ages to run around.
Sumo season finishes in October. Ross, we might be able to get a few sumos in.
That'll do for me.
Adam, Justin Senior?
No idea, but I'm already spooked out by Pete Carroll saying, we're going to move him on both sides. He finished at right. We're probably going to start him on the left side. I have decided that unless proven otherwise, I am anti any player that plays on both sides of the line of the center. So I am anti this pick.
Yeah, the Bradley style PTSD condition is real, ladies and gents. In the seventh, the Seahawks took someone who I'm still not sure nearly a week later is real. The very fake sounding name of David Moore from the very fake sounding school of East Central Oklahoma. He's apparently a 6'2" wide receiver who is, per John Schneider, ripped. I've searched high and low for clips on David Moore the last few days, and I found a 45-second video on Hoodle of him making a catch. Anything to add, guys?
Special teamer, possibly.
Yeah, but if John Schneider, he just sounds like he's got that big frame that obviously we haven't really had since Mike Williams ate himself out of Seattle. To wrap it all up, for the 11th pick haul is Oklahoma State's Chris Carson. Carson, a running back who's taken a lot of comparisons to Thomas Rawls over the last few days, was a two-year contributor for Oklahoma State after some time in JUCO. But he's a tough runner, first and foremost. That's the first thing that really does pop when you watch him. He is quite a nice pickup at that late stage. Anything to add, Adam?
Not especially. It seems that, the guy that Pete Carroll's really gone out on a limb for. So let's see. I mean, at this point, it's basically a lottery, isn't it? It's sort of like when you get down to people picking up Tavon Austin in fantasy drafts and you just want to shout at the guy saying, hurry up, I've got to go to bed. and that's sort of the stage we're at the moment. So let's see with this. I mean, certainly got no shortage of numbers in the wide receiver or running back room, that's for sure.
No, the undrafted free agent class is yet to be confirmed. Headline on rumor side, at least, by West Virginia quarterback Skylar Howard, who's more than once got into Twitter disputes with former Seahawk Bruce Irvin, and Purdue's O lineman Justin Roos. Roos was someone who John Schneider said on Saturday night that they considered using a draft pick on him and could be a name to watch this summer. He was this year's Doug Baldwin, it seems, of the undrafted crop, as he got the biggest chunk of designated money. Any other of the names rumoured catch your attention for any reasons, Russ?
No, not really. I thought we might have gone for a quarterback late on, but I suppose you can get the undrafted ones in and see what they're like, then that's fine. And we've got Jake Heaps back, haven't we, again, for a little bit.
Yeah, that was not a waste of time last year, so let's do it all again. Adam?
I think they must be thinking that Boykin is going to get through this little legal tiff, because otherwise I thought they would have been a bit more aggressive looking for a quarterback. Is there a guy called Algie Brown or someone that they've picked up?
Yeah, Algie Brown, running back, fullback from BYU. The person who changed the whole draft strategy of the Seahawks has been big on him, so yeah. A busy weekend for Seattle. 11 picks did seem a surprising amount. I did say we needed more, but didn't expect us to pick 11. It's the most the Seahawks have picked since 2013, which was an all-time, all very well regarded as a very, very bad draft class. Let's just hope for better. 2018 work starts now, as what I'm going to call the year of Darnold. We will be back this year in future podcasts with more drafting Seahawks pieces. It just helped that two of our 2017 bits can be regurgitated. Ross, Royce Freeman and Cortland Sutton will definitely be in this class. Watch the Sutton dude is legit as they come. So Adam's already mentioned his favourite draft class from other teams. Who do you think had the best draft of the weekend, Ross?
Well, the Browns did pretty well, didn't they? They didn't fall into the trap that we thought they were going to do and just take a quarterback at number one, but I mean, getting Myles Garrett and then getting, did they get Adams as well? They got Njoku, didn't they?
You got Njoku,
Jabril Peppers.
That's the one,
yeah. And Deshaun Kaiser, which could be a great pick.
Which they played it perfectly. The Cleveland Browns did.
Yeah.
Which is something you can say.
And also, the it pains me to say this because Dave's going to listen, but the Titans, taking Corey Davis, the more I've watched of him and the more I've heard about him, he seems like the best receiver in this draft.
Yeah, I think as you said on last week's live draft night thing, it's a little early for him, I think. But yeah, he gives Mariota someone to throw to.
Yeah.
They waited a few more rounds to sort the tight end, the Delanie Walker succession thing. But yeah, I think the best draft, just because of how they played the quarterback position, was the Cleveland Browns. They got David Njoku. They've already cut Gary Barnidge in that week of that. We got the best
next
player
day as well.
Yeah, they got the best player in the draft. They just absolutely played a pearl. I also think the Colts had a really nice draft as well. Because they just seem to actually draft smartly this year, which is what happens when Warren Gregson's no longer there.
Also, a shout out. Well, I don't agree with one of the picks they made, but the Bengals have done a lot to help Andy Dalton become a decent quarterback again. Having Joe Mixon behind him and John Ross in front of him is going to make life a hell of a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. But obviously, early thoughts on 2018, it is all about Sam Darnold, isn't it, Adam?
I think so, yeah. He's going to be the guy that everyone's looking out for. Interesting to see a few other Huskies think, is it Vita Vea will be coming out?
It's
largely tipped, maybe even a top five pick. There's a load of good quarterbacks next year that I think a lot of teams will have been smart, if your name isn't the Chicago Browns, to have sort Chicago Bears even, but it could be Chicago Browns given their nonsense over the weekend, to sort of leave well alone and go next year when there will be, without question, a load of good quarterbacks coming out.
Yeah, and also on the back of the fantastic reaction clip from the Bears fans to that pick, there's also the fact that Mitchell Trubisky got booed at the Bulls game over the weekend as well when his name was announced. So,
and there's also the fact that Mike Glennon was apparently invited to Soldier Field to be part of the Chicago Bears draft night party, which he went to try and sort of meet some fans and whatever, and he was in the suite in the executive boxes when they picked Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, it's the quickest the GM has tried to burn his job down as Warren Pace is doing there. That just makes a week later, it makes absolutely no sense. But before we go, time for a quick true or false. I'll start. Hassan Riddick will be the 2017 Defensive Rookie of the Year.
False. Myles Garrett.
Adam?
It's a good shout. I just wonder if he'll be able to flash enough in Arizona to be that good. I'm gonna go Adams, the Jets safety.
Yeah, actually, that's if he just keeps picking off Tom Brady, I think he'll be enough to get the award from Roger Goodell. I think Ross, true or false?
Okay, true or false? The Panthers win the NFC South with the read option being massive again with McCaffrey and Cam
Samuel and Curtis Samuel.
Yeah. Because I want to see the Falcons without Shanahan before I get back on the Falcons.
False. I think it's what have you done for me lately kind of thing. I think the Falcons are still the best team in that division, yeah. And they've just gone and got some of the best defensive players, which fit what they do so well with Dan Quinn. And they're just, yeah, that defense is ridiculous. False. I think it'd be the Falcons. Adam?
I don't know if it's true or false, but I was trying to do sort of a vague power rankings in my head of all 32 teams today, and I had a sneaky suspicion that the NFC South may have three teams in the playoff next year. And that might be a little bit of a wild one, but just got a hunch. I think Tampa Bay look very, very well set on offense.
Yeah.
Carolina, if they've reloaded as well as it seems to, then they're going to be very good. And obviously you've got Atlanta. So I'm not going to say true because I think Atlanta might still edge it, but I can certainly see there being three 10-win teams in that division next year.
Yeah, they got the best tight end in the draft to add to their basketball team with Mike Evans, and they sorted out the running backs, I think, and they've still got a a young quarterback as well.
Deshaun Jackson now as well.
Yeah.
My true or false is... I always give a nice little pause and say that when I didn't realize we had a true or false. Got to try and think of one. My true or false is the best two teams in the NFL, assuming that Martavis Bryant is back in the league, are the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
False.
You explain why false to while I think a bit more.
New England Patriots are on a different sphere to everyone. I just think after them, it's just a matter of muchness. I think the question's over Le'Veon Bell, although another one really cool story from the weekend is the Pittsburgh Steelers picking the Pittsburgh Panther graduate and Pittsburgh kid, James Conner, after all the stuff we've focused on James Conner the last few months. That's a really, really cool pick, but I don't think they have enough... defensively still. Well, James Harrison's about 65 by now, so I don't think they can rely on him. I just think their defense is not as strong as it possibly should be to be number two in that division. And I also think the Raiders are possibly a better team. I think the AFC's got Aaron, as long as the AFC's got Aaron Rodgers, they're always going to be top two, top three, top five, I think.
I want to disagree, but I can't see another team that's better than the Steelers. Obviously, we're right there with them, in my opinion, but that offensive talent is just disgusting. If they all stay fit, and Brown and Bell and Bryant as well, that's the best triplets in the league.
Yeah, but I think also they've got Bell and Bryant who are one puff away from being out of the league for a year. So.
Yeah, true.
There is that, so I think that precarious nature. But good question, Adam, on the fly.
Yeah.
Here all week, mate.
Yeah, we will be back in a few weeks for another podcast, as the league sort of just dozes off now for a month or so.
Yeah, it's the worst time of year now.
Camp is just around the corner, sort of. There's no winning Mariners baseball to distract me with. But we are working on bringing some pretty cool guests along the way when we do return. Remember to get involved on our Facebook page and also with our Patreon. Where can people do that, Ross?
Yes, go to www.patreon.com/thepedestrianpodcast and you can back us at a $1, $3, $5 or the special $12 a month levels. Whichever one you go for, you'll get all of the bonus stuff throughout the off-season. Anything we do bonusly will be sent to you to listen to.
Did you say bonusly?
Bonusly, yes. I'm making up words today.
Okay. But yeah, that is all we do have for this week. Massive thanks for those who have listened and tuned in. Also those who watched our Facebook Live, or my Facebook Live, which was about 12 people at its peak. So thank you to those 12. Also thanks to Gaz for joining and sending questions on the Facebook Live Google Hangout last Thursday night. Really appreciate all the views. But yeah, if you want to follow myself, I am on Twitter on @Stu_Court. Adam is @AdamDNathan for all the Spurs hot takes. And Ross is RossBell1984. That's right, yeah?
That is right, yes indeed. And don't forget, if you want to come to the national meet, get on our Facebook page and buy a ticket.
Yes, most definitely. May 27th, Canal House in the centre of Nottingham. £5 on PayPal to myself. You can follow us on Twitter as the UK Seahawkers @SeahawkersUK. On the website is www.ukseahawkers.com. Also the Facebook page, UK Seattle Seahawks fans as well. But if you are, as Ross says, going to the national meet, then me and Ross will see you there. But until next time, this has been the Pedestrian Podcast.
Go Hawks!
That is going to do it. 12, they're bringing the trophy home. Your Seahawks Super Bowl 48 champions.